I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, I think we're live. Well, live in the living room. Welcome back to episode 20 of the Smokestream Podcast, and I'm your host. I was just gonna say one of the dudes in this thing, but they won't get the reference till we get into it. Anyway, I'm sorry we're so professional.
Host Earrings,
yes, Dr. Earrings is. We're gonna talk about Dr. Earrings. So yeah, we apologize for last week. We had a, I don't know what the hell happened last week. What happened last week? We couldn't get one out for some reason.
No, we couldn't. We were here.
we were here.
It's like a podcast we had constipation.
It was. No, we did. We had a dud documentary.
Yep.
We did have a dud documentary. So we were like, we're going to watch this. It's going to be cool. You go home and watch it. I'll watch it. And then we're like, yeah, we can't.
And we finished up the last half of it here. Right before we were going to record.
Yes. And it was like, that's like a 20-minute conversation, maybe.
Yeah, that's a fact. And then we were left stranded. It was like, okay, what are we going
to
do?
Yes. So we just didn't want to put something out just to put something out.
No.
So we're trying to do it right. But anyway, we do have a good documentary this time. Not necessarily a documentary.
It's a docuseries.
It's a docuseries, but it brings up a good moral question about today's world. And we're referring to the Netflix series Unnatural Selection.
Right.
So if you hadn't seen it, you don't have to see it necessarily to follow along with this podcast. Obviously, we'll be talking about it a little bit, but it's more of the general, you know, what would you do scenario type thing. And, you know, the ethics that come into biohacking.
Yeah, it's an ethical dilemma.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about because some things are, it's like any other tool, I guess. You know, it can be used for great, and the other side is it could be horrible and kill us all. I mean, literally.
Right. And you can't just do the math and say, okay, this is gonna be what happens if we do this.
No,
there are so many unknowns and variables.
There's so many unknowns and variables, and what you call the butterfly effect. So, anyway, you don't have to necessarily check it out, but if you want to follow along with kind of who we're talking about, go ahead and pause this and. Go watch it. It's a four-part little series, about an hour, 10 minutes apiece, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about a four-hour little series, mini-series, whatever.
You know me, the numbers guy. It's 4 hours and 24 minutes long.
Oh, God. He's got it, and 32 seconds. What's the milliseconds on that? if you want to check it out, you can. You know, it's not necessary just to kind of follow along. But anyway, so I guess we'll kind of start with what happened in the documentary, just the overview, because it kind of follows four or five people.
It does.
And then it has some side stuff in there as well, but it follows, like, I guess it gives you like the personal, like what this can do for you on a personal level, the technology as far as like healing diseases and stuff like that. And we're talking about, you know, literally splicing DNA. We're talking about changing your DNA to where you don't carry these bad genes that cause these diseases.
That's right. Or we'll give you some good genes if you're healthy to give you different eye colors. Or
right. It goes
choose.
Into so, vanity stuff and all this other stuff. But the scary part, the kind of the underlying theme is, are these, you know, these big natural pushes to, or unnatural pushes in the wild to, for example, exterminate mosquitoes or a rat population somewhere. And you don't know the full, you know, it sounds good on the surface to get rid of something that kills a lot of people, malaria being the primary thing with mosquitoes, obviously. But you don't know how that affects the entire ecosystem down the road. Like I said, the butterfly effect. So it's crazy. It's a crazy situation. Because now, I know now, though, we're way past, like, the documentary a lot. Since then, we've all heard of the GMO foods. There was a big thing about that the last, you know, what, 5 or 10 years? Hell no, no GMOs, you know, all those kind of protests and things. So, and then I looked up a lot of, you know, bioengineered animals. You know, I've known about a few, but it made me think about them again. Like you got the goats with the spider DNA, and you got spider silk coming out of goat milk. You have glowing cats and glowing rats, and you can actually reverse the aging process on a rat because they changed to some DNA that made the cells younger. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. So anyway, in this documentary, you follow a kid who was born with two bad genes from both parents, right?
Yep.
His name is Jackson. And I don't remember exactly you may know the disease. I don't know if you know the name of the disease.
No, I do not.
But essentially, he goes blind very early. And at about 8 or 10 years old, something like that, he can basically just see light.
And the kid's really smart, you can tell. He wants to be an astronaut, first person to ever go to Mars, things like that. Really cool little kid. And unfortunately, he's got this degenerative disease. He's going to go blind. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, he's already basically there. He's just, he can see light, and that's about it.
He wears thick glasses, but still carries a cane. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Right. And so he's playing with his toys and stuff, and he don't even know what he's playing with sometimes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he knows Braille and all that stuff. So you follow him through this journey. You follow a kid named Nick, and he's, I'm not sure exactly his disease either, but it's something where...
Spinal muscular atrophy.
Yes, there you go. That, and it's horrible. You know, like you said, it over time, it's going to get worse. He was supposed to not even make it to his second birthday.
Exactly.
And what is he?
24.
24.
Yep.
So he's waiting on treatment, you know, this new DNA-style treatment. It follows a guy named Tristan, who is HIV positive. Doesn't have AIDS yet. He's not to that point. And I think he was going through regular therapy as far as medications or whatever. But this offers, obviously, you can, you know, genetically modify something, inject it, and it can attack the HIV virus. And so it follows him. And, you know, and there's a couple other players. Like, you have a guy who... He's kind of a, you know, he's a smart dude, but he's no PhD, anything like that. And that's kind of the point of this, is some of these people, is it's just regular people that they're able to get these kits and do their own thing in their garage. So they're called biohackers.
Yeah. It's called a CRISPR kit. And, they always refer to it as CRISPR, and this is why. It's because that stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats.
So damn.
It's basically like giving you a scalpel to go in and cut out a section of DNA and insert whatever you want.
Yes, it's almost literally a cut and paste.
Yep, cut and paste.
And you can order the kits with this CRISPR technology to do anything you want, I believe. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean,
pretty much.
They've mapped out the entire human genome, and so you know they know every gene that does what. And if you want like you mentioned, the eye color thing, these as they call them, designer babies, that's a big thing. That happens in Europe in some places, still illegal here. But it allows you to do all this and crazy stuff with this, you know, we just don't know what how it affects.
And like Chris was saying, there's a guy, he's not a PhD or anything, or MD, just a really, really smart guy. And he understands the way this stuff works really well. And he's working with dogs. And... he's trying to make glow-in-the-dark dogs.
Yeah, and the idea is, his bigger goal is to undo what's been done to the, you know, with the breed of these of all these dogs.
Yeah, if you take him at his word, that's what he says.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, but in order to get there, a lot of these, apparently these animals that they do mess with and genetically engineer end up glowing because they use that jellyfish DNA to see the cells on a cellular level, and then it ends up, they actually
the bioluminescent stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
and that lets them know, we've got the right
Right. So they can see everything that's working under a microscope, and then inevitably they glow somehow. Yeah. Like, there's glowing cats now. Mm-hmm. There's glowing rats. I mean, it's just crazy. But
so there's people like him, and they have these, what do you call it? Chat rooms. Or whatever, and they're part of a, like a club or whatever, and they all talk and share info and everything.
Yeah, so it's almost like a Facebook group or something.
Yeah, everybody's getting, you know, really smart, getting good info and everything. So on the surface, to me, it seems really cool. But it's the people who, you know, say one thing and they really want to do other crazy stuff, you know, let's add another leg or something, you
and
know what I mean?
You got people in other countries that are doing that already,
right?
And of course, you know, it's banned here, especially on humans. And hell, there's even a rigorous process for anything to be tested on animals here. So that's the thing when you get into the ecosystem thing is like it's not just going to affect. For example, there's a guy and I call him. I don't know everybody. James has all the names because he does this right. But he's Dr. Rat, and Dr. Rat wants to, like, he's I don't remember the island, but it's an island of indigenous people.
Oh,
and they're not. They live
in
modern.
New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is New Zealand. Okay, yep. Right. So he wants to help remove this rat population that's there that was introduced there by outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to help the ecosystem. So he acts like he's all like actually gives a shit about these people and their island, but he really just wants to test out this technology, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they call it gene drives.
A gene drive. That's
so,
right.
Yeah, you go you take some rats in a lab and you get them the way you want them to where any of their offspring will carry the same trait that they have. You prove you've got it down pat, and then you release them into the wild. And what they do is they go out there and breed with the wild rats.
Right.
And then they pass on this trait, which would make them, like, say...
Sterile.
Yeah. They cannot reproduce. And right. then you wipe out...
The entire population.
Yeah, entire population.
Over just a, you know, you're talking about a year or two, probably.
Yeah, with rats and their quick life cycles. Right. Yeah, it would wipe them all out really fast.
So he's in there wanting just, and he can't, like, James, you mentioned this earlier, they're having these meetings, he's going about it, you know, kind of in a democracy style thing, here's what I can try to do, I can't guarantee it's going to work, but I think it will, and the townspeople or whatever, the council, I guess it is, I'm not sure exactly, but they're all like, you know, but how does that affect the ecosystem and all this kind of stuff, and they're religious.
They are.
And he can't understand that either. Yeah. You're playing God now. You know?
He's really black or white, you know, just, I don't know, he doesn't have that in him, you know, he's just all science and no spirit. So when they bring that to the table, you can start see him short-circuiting a little bit.
Yeah,
that doesn't factor into his thought process.
Right, he just cannot bring himself to even try to understand their perspective on things. And so he's one of the guys that I was like, I just don't like this dude. I mean,
right.
I get what he's trying to do, and he wants to test it out because they do want to get rid of the rats.
They do.
Because it's a problem there. But the way he wants to do it, it's like he's just coming in being that outsider again.
And
they're not having it.
And you hear the phrase over and over in this documentary about playing God.
Yes.
And that's the way these people look at it. Is like, okay, I mean, let's figure out another way to deal with this instead of playing God, so to speak.
Right.
And that, they worry about the ripples and what they're doing and, you know, a lot of morals and stuff. So also, I just want to throw in, there is a guy keeps showing up in each one of these, and his title under his name is Jeffrey Kahn, and his title is a bioethicist.
So yes, now, I mean, and now we have positions.
Yeah, new titles being created because of this, and I can see it being warranted. There are ethics, you know, ethical dilemmas, like we said earlier, in this, when you start talking about changing, you know, genetics.
Right, and It's one thing if you're doing something to, you know, you have a specific problem you're trying to solve and you do something in a lab and you solve that problem right there on a local basis and you administer it however you administer it to individuals or whatever. The problem comes in is when you start doing this like in the wild, because you don't know when things start mating and they carry this new gene or lack of a gene or whatever, the replaced gene, the mm-hmm. you know, the hacked gene. Then you don't know how that's you're literally changing evolution in a generation.
You brought up the word, as soon as you stopped talking, I was going to bring up that fact. It's something that you and I talked about, and it is evolution. And to me, that's the big quandary here, is, you know, that is, I guess, the beauty, quote unquote, of evolution, is it weeds out and makes everything stronger over time.
Yes.
It weeds out weak, rewards strong, or, you know, strong characteristics. And so that's when you start, you know, stopping natural evolutionary, you know,
traits. Yeah, natural selection.
Yeah.
Which is why they named this unnatural selection, I guess.
It really... Some things are supposed to go by the wayside. Some species are supposed to go extinct. Some, unfortunately, some people are supposed to be blind. And this is just me personally talking here.
Right.
Now, some people are supposed to die. All people are supposed to die at a normal age. You start making people live to be 150 years old. It changes everything. Our planet can't sustain
right,
every
because
species
this same,
thriving.
Right. The same group of people will then bitch about overpopulation mm-hmm. in the next, you know, conversation they have.
Right.
So the idea is that, you know, you want to wipe out all these mosquitoes to stop malaria. It sounds great. And I'm, you know, and that's their environment. I'm all for it. They actually, in this case, they voted for it and went ahead and tried it in some way. And I've seen since that there's been a lot of success, but we just don't know down the road what that change, what's that's going to do to the ecosystem. Nobody really can answer that, you know, and that's the unknown, because it sounds harsh, but And you know, and I'm not saying, because disease is a natural thing. If mm-hmm. you think about it, that's part of evolution too. So do you do that and then change everything, and then the planet becomes overpopulated because we're all living to be 150 and there's no malaria?
Right.
And there's no, now it sounds good because I'm over here comfortable with no polio and no malaria.
Yep.
So I totally get that point. Yeah. I totally get it.
Our kids aren't dying from malaria.
No. And they need to do something. And they have done a lot since with those countries. It's mostly countries in Africa, obviously, with malaria. And that's been, since this documentary has been filmed and all that, a lot has been done to take care of it.
And when I say things like people are supposed to be blind, you know, some people are going to get, you know, these spinal degenerative diseases and stuff. Listen, I'm speaking broadly here. I mean, if I looked at every isolated case, I don't want anybody to be blind
or have
a degenerative disease or whatever, to be disabled. I want everybody to be happy and healthy. And I'm just saying, I'm speaking in general terms when I say something like that. That's kind of just the way it is and the way it's always been. And I know that, well, you could say, hey, well, why not let everybody die from the flu? Why you go get medicine? So there are medical advances. I see both sides.
Yes.
If my kid had a problem, or if I personally had a problem that could be fixed by biohacking, I'll be in line.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So I'm not saying I'm against it.
Because,
I'm just saying,
you know, you got to throw in, too, with the other side of that, like you're kind of like you're mentioning, is, you know, we used to live to be 50.
There you go.
And in medical advancements and just simple, not even biohacking, just advancements in technology and medicine.
And medicine in general,
allows us to live to be 76 years old on average now.
Yeah.
So that's something people could argue, well, we're not supposed to live till be 50.
Yeah.
But so that's the key here. What is supposed to mean?
Yeah, what's our role?
What is like you said, some people in general are supposed to get sick and some people are supposed to die. And this, we're all supposed to die, obviously. But what does that actually mean in the natural world?
That's
the question.
And they touched on the polio vaccine. I thought that was awesome when they touched on that.
Yeah, and he gave it away for free. No patent.
No patent.
Because they did bring a lot of issues, the social issues, into this documentary, where if, you know, you let a corporation, and that's kind of what this is an anti-corporation thing for these kind of garage hackers,
because
they believe, and rightfully so, more than likely, that if a corporation will do it, it'll cost $1 million, which in some cases it has.
We've seen it on the documentary.
We've seen it on the documentary. So they want everybody to have access to this. So if you have somebody that needs, say, there's a new HIV treatment that's a couple times you poke yourself with a needle and all of a sudden you're cured of HIV, everyone needs access to that, not just rich people or people that, you know, that are well off. So there were a couple examples of that.
The Nick Piazza guy, the guy who's 24 and he can't move his arms or legs right now. They have to wipe his drool off of his chin.
Yes.
He has unbelievably awesome parents. There's a scene where you see them haggling with this company about the cost of this treatment, where they're saying it's going to be $125,000 per treatment. and it's going to be multiple treatments.
Right.
And he's like, what if I could give you $60,000? And I mean, you just think about being in that position.
Yeah,
and
it's horrible.
Having to haggle. You know, everybody's not rich. And these companies, they're saying, what's it worth to you? For your son to be able to, you know, get back in a motorized wheelchair and have a little bit of independence, what's that worth to you?
Exactly.
Well, it's worth everything I've got, but you can't bankrupt everybody.
Right. And that is a fact of, you know, in this country at least, and is the healthcare. That's a big debate, you know, it's a big political thing, but it is, you know, most people do go bankrupt over medical bills.
Yeah.
And so that was a big point of this, is to make sure that, you know, whatever the outcome is that it's equally attainable. So you got these people who want to have people be able to order these kits and yep. learn this stuff on their own,
right?
So you can self treat, you know, treat yourself.
You can do that legally. We saw that in the documentary.
The difference is we're talking about things right here that if you do something to say treat a disease, I don't know if it necessarily gets passed on to offspring, because that's different. That to me is where you start having more questions. If I treat my, you know, family member or myself or whatever, and then I have offspring, will that somehow affect, some, you know, to have a butterfly effect down the line of my
right.
genome?
Right.
Will it? Is that a good thing? I don't know. You know what I mean? That's where it gets muddy.
Because we pass everything. When we create a child, we pass everything we got
right.
to them.
So that DNA, but there was some difference though between methods that would and would not pass it on. I'm not really sure what that means, so mm-hmm. I won't try to pretend. But that's where you have to start. The waters get muddy. You know, yes, it's helping this one person, but will it down the line hurt somebody else? You know, another. You know, as far as offspring goes, I mean, I don't know. You wouldn't think so.
No.
And you would think you'd want everybody to have this kind of stuff going on and being hacked and you're immune to all these horrible diseases. Sounds great, but how does that affect the human race down the road 50 years or 100 years? Right. I don't know. Will something else come up because of that? You know, I don't know. It's like the kid who has the HIV virus and they give him this, what is it? N1 or N6 or something vaccine,
yeah, something like
that they supposedly came up with, and he, you know, he injects himself on Facebook Live, and this is probably 4 or 5 years ago, I'm sure now, and he was just a guinea pig. They didn't give a shit about him and his health.
And that was the sad part about it.
Yeah,
is they were, you know, speaking out of both sides of their mouths.
Yes, that was the guy. That was the CEO dude.
Yeah,
this guy literally looked like he walked off the street and bought a tie and just wanted to be a CEO.
Walked off the street as a homeless person.
Yes.
Yeah, bought a tie.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And he was right there beside him.
His name was Aaron Trawick.
Yes, who's now deceased, by the way. We found out after the end of the episode 4 that they found him dead in an isolation chamber in a spa with some kind of shit in his system for this, usually anesthesiology, I believe. I can't remember the name of the.
That's right.
So, but this guy was like, instead of like him, the HIV kid doing his own thing on his own video, he was right there beside him talking about the company, making it about the company.
Yeah, and saying it'll be available.
Yeah, they're pre-selling it.
Yeah,
they were pre-selling it. They were like having pre-orders.
All these other people were, you know, watching it live, and the people who helped them, you know, talking about the guy who messes with the dogs,
yeah,
the doctor with the earrings, that's Dr. Josiah Zahner. I mean, they all helped this guy, thinking that they were being part of, you know, helping the dude
right.
get rid of HIV. Way, way, way later, we're going to deal with the business end of this.
Yes.
You know, we want to prove that this technology works.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even a thing yet. We don't know it's going to work, and he's calling it a cure.
Yeah.
He's selling it as a cure.
You could see them. They're starting to go, oh, he's getting out there too much. They try to reel him back in. He
right.
stays firm. He's like, hey, I'm the one putting up all the money for this.
Right.
You know, evidently, he's probably, you know, ran into some money somehow.
Yeah, he got some kind of investor somewhere. He looked like he was under pressure the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So,
but that was what I was going to say to leapfrog off of that is Dr. Earring. He starts out really like he's the guy going out there, and he is a doctor, but he's doing this from his garage and selling these kits. He's the one that wants it like freely available to everyone right now. Like everybody should have it.
Yeah.
Go for it. There shouldn't be any limitations whatsoever.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. You can do whatever you want to yourself. And yes, you can. But then as it progresses, the show, he starts to question, like, wait a minute. Yeah, this can affect other people. It's not just like poking yourself with a needle. It can have effects down the line and all this kind of stuff. So at first you're like, you know, I get it, dude. I get what you're saying. He's passionate about it. He wants everybody to have equal access to this technology. But you got to think, these people have legitimate concerns. It's not just like some conspiracy the government wants to take everything over.
No, in there's this legitimate case, it's questions. Not. Yeah, there really are.
Because if you had, because it came up, he got an order from Iran. All right. Now, yeah, there's nothing wrong with anybody in Iran wanting that, but we know that in the real world, that we're not really friends with Iran as far as the government goes. Not talking about the people, talking about the government. And if Iran can get a hold of some technology to biohack people, because yes, that's exactly what you're selling, then who's to say chemical warfare doesn't break out in the next 10 years?
Then that's a horrible and that's, thought.
You got to think about that kind of stuff. I mean, so that's where it gets into a lot of the social issues and then the geopolitical issues as far as, you know, this being available worldwide and all that stuff.
Right, because, I mean, you can isolate things like, you know, strength and muscle mass and density and,
right, right,
you know, everything about us.
Our
vision, you can give everybody eagle vision, you know. I mean, it's amazing the things they talk about on there.
And yeah, that's one yeah thing he and he did that. Yeah, he self-injected the thing that the frog, he tested on the frog.
Right.
And it was to grow muscle mass. And yes, he tested it on himself, and I don't know if they really showed the results of that or whatever.
They didn't touch on it much more after that.
But he was trying to see if he would grow more muscle mass because the frog did.
Yeah.
So he was self-injecting too. So at least he put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, and I got to give it to these guys. They are organized. It might be a shed or a garage or whatever, yeah, but I was impressed by how organized they were. The guy with the ponytail who messes with the dogs, in the beginning, he really struck me odd. I didn't really like him that much.
I agree. Yep. I know what you're going to say.
As the documentary plays out, you find out he's really the most level-headed, you know, foresighted having person on there.
Yeah, he's actually concerned about it. Like, he was concerned about the HIV kid.
Yeah.
And you, when it starts off, he's, you know, he's basically telling you he's going to create a glowing dog. But again, it's not for that particular reason. It's to actually learn the process or whatever so he can undo what breeders have done to dogs over the years. Because they have,
it's a shame.
It is a shame. That's very true. But it comes off like, you know, he's just like trying to play God, and he's got all these dogs in cages, and you like, it's almost like they're it's a farm, so mm-hmm, it's a puppy farm for testing,
right?
And it comes across that way at first, but then you realize, as he is, like you said, as it plays out, that he actually is in touch with all these other people. He's the one that helped, you know, start this whatever H6 or whatever it was for, yeah, the kid, along with Dr. Earring. And
I'm just, if you watch the documentary,
yeah,
you'll see
what I'm saying when I say Dr. Earrings. Anyway, so yeah, he ends up being by far the most level-headed guy in there with the voice of reason.
The voice of reason.
And then they have, like you mentioned, the other people. They have the co-creator of the technology. She's in it a lot, you know, just speaking her mind. Like, she's proud to be a part of it, but she's scared to death about it, you know, even though she helped actually create the technology. Then you have the guys and you got people in the government asking about it, and the military, of course, already asking about it, which is, you know, you got to understand that's legitimate concerns, mm-hmm, they have. So,
and
it's a good balance between people who, you know, the personal thing, like, I want to help my kid because he's sick, versus where it goes into the unnatural selection. Are we playing God in a sense? Regardless if you're religious or not, you know what we mean by saying playing, right, God. You're interfering with actual natural, you know, evolution that takes place over hundreds and thousands of years. You can do it in 2 or 3 days or a generation.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And one thing, like, as the documentary went on, you know, you keep running into these, you know, moral and ethical things that bother you. And then you get to the last episode. Yeah. And the last episode starts talking about three parent babies.
Yes.
And
it's not really, I don't, they really should reframe that, but you can describe it. And then I'll mention that.
Okay. You get two people who want to have a baby, and there is something wrong with the mitochondrial DNA. And when that you get from your mom, it lives outside the nucleus of the cell. And so what they're doing is they're giving the mitochondrial DNA from another woman. So basically the kid would have, you know, the DNA of his parents with the mitochondrial DNA of a second mother.
Right. And just to clarify, the mitochondria is what powers the cell, essentially.
It just floats around outside.
It's where the midichlorians came from in Star Wars. And, it's what causes the Force.
And my problem, honestly, is I watch so much Forensic Files.
Right.
And in Forensic Files, there are times when these bodies that they find are so decomposed, they're just skeletons, and they can barely get out some DNA to identify this body, and it'll always be the mitochondrial DNA is what they can test. So then they have to go back and test, you know, the mother of this to see if it's a match
of
the bones, you know. And again, I know it's going to be such a small sample size in the scheme of things, but I think, you know, that could confuse a lot of investigations if we go 100 years in the future and this becomes a common thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's true, right. Yes.
Where, you know, you're going to try to identify somebody and it's all going to be all confusing. I mean, how do you know? How can you lay? You don't have everybody wearing scarlet letters saying, hey, I'm a three-parent baby.
Right, exactly.
You know, I don't know. It's really, do we have it on your license that, you know, I have the mitochondrial DNA of this family? Or
I don't
know how that works. And that's stupid that I think that way, but that's really all I watch is stuff like that.
It's a valid question. I didn't even think about the DNA in crimes. I mean, but then again, that also brings up the question that, are we playing, you know, is what's the movie that came out with Ethan Hawke? Something like that.
Oh, it is something like that. I have not seen it, but I know.
It's a great movie, but it comes down to basically discrimination on the cellular level.
Oh, wow.
And that's what the movie's about. Like, for example, he wants to go to space in that movie, but he don't have the right DNA. He's got, because he's going to have a heart defect because they can tell by when you're born in this movie. They test you, and by the time you're 35, you're going to have a heart defect.
Mm.
And so you can never be an astronaut, right? Mm. So, in this movie, he goes to this like athlete swimmer, Olympian swimmer, and scrapes his DNA off of it and uses that because they have these scanners everywhere.
Wow.
So, and that's how he gets into this program. He lies his way through with somebody else's DNA.
Wow.
So it's really cool that movie, that came out in like the late 90s.
Yeah, I've seen the thumbnail a bunch.
Yeah, maybe early 2000s. I don't remember now, but that's a good movie to compare this to, of what we're talking about could happen down the line.
Because it gets to be a mess.
It does.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not really third, like the parent thing, what I was saying. It's not really three parents. You still got the regular DNA of the mother and father. It's just the mitochondria, which is completely different. It just powers the cell.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's a little bit, I don't know, some mislabeling, I think. I don't know.
It
being
is.
Three parent baby.
But it is kind of like the first step in the, you know, the actual Frankenstein sounding three parent.
It is. And I never thought about the crime aspect, but then you get into like the Tom Cruise movie where
I was thinking that too.
We should be worried about that.
Yeah.
You know, are we worried about crime in the future? No, because nobody's committed it yet. So we can't really worry about the mitochondria, but it's a valid question.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be able to get identified. So that was one that really, that bothered me. And then I told Chris this, and we kind of touched on it earlier, but the malaria thing, that also got me.
Because they
go over to Africa, and they show these African doctors visiting these kids in beds. And it struck me. It's like, you know, that's so far away from my reality that it's just not even on my list of things to be concerned about. But I told Chris, you know, these parents love their kids as much as I love mine, and they have a right to live. And I mean, they're in this place where they're just swarmed with these damn mosquitoes. We're talking thousands of kids.
Yeah.
Like, I think they say 1,000 a day get infected.
And a big problem with that was, I know years ago I was looking into that, was a big problem was, you know, banning DDT.
Yes.
And that's what so it's brought like it back.
You cut off your nose to spite your face.
Right.
You know, but DDT has all these side effects. And it's like, okay, so we have a legitimate way to give it a shot with no pesticides.
Right.
To try to eradicate your mosquito problems. And some of the elders and over there, they're like, I don't know. It's kind of playing God kind of
exactly,
thing again. They have their own. This is what I want to do.
They have their own version of God, too. It doesn't matter what religion.
They're the ones knee deep in malaria.
Exactly.
And if they're wanting to push back on it, you know, who is this blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy to go over there and push it down their throat? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I told Chris, I think he's the wrong guy to head up things like these gene drives. They need somebody.
Yeah, well, that's for Dr. Rat, though, because the African guy was...
Once he's done with that, he'll move on to something else.
Absolutely.
Because
the guy that's over there, he is a guy who survived malaria.
Yeah, this doctor.
So he's trying to get out there, and he said in that small country, they had like 80 dialects. So he's got to go around and educate everybody in a different language, essentially.
He's doing a good job.
And try to... basically wipe out mosquitoes.
Yeah. But showed them having skits and stuff out there in front of everybody. It was really cool.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I mean, and since then they have done something, and apparently they had like an 80% effect on it in this area.
Yeah.
So they did end up doing that kind of stuff, but, you know, nobody will know what the ramifications are, if any, down the line as far as the ecosystem or whatever.
And I guess one more thing I wanted to touch on was the HIV guy. I thought it was profound, and you have to stop to think about it for a second. He's self-treating himself, okay? What happens later is the guy who does the dogs, he's part of that, as we said earlier. He's helping put all this together for this kid. He calls him. He has a FaceTime call with him and says, look, dude, I've been thinking about something here. If you don't give the right strength, the right dosage, then this virus is going to build up a resistance to what you're doing here. And then when you do give it the right dose,
it's too late.
It's too late.
Now it's stronger.
Yeah. And you can't do this. So for your own good, don't do this the wrong way. Or, you're going to be a footnote in the history of all this.
Exactly. And don't let them use you as a guinea pig. Are you truly wanting to do this yourself, or are they wanting to use you as the face of the company to push this this so-called cure?
Yep.
So that was a big ethical thing. And that's when the other guy also started, Dr. Earrings, he started to get like, I can see it now. You know, people are taking advantage of this, and this is what I wanted. This is the garage version that's affordable, only costs $60.
But here's the problem. You know, this is a true problem right in your face right now. There, you do need, I think, medical supervision, you know, when you start attacking something like HIV, something like that. I mean, come on. I mean, we can't be so anti-government that
it's complicated because you want government to stay out of your lives, but you have the FDA for a reason.
You do.
And it's, you know, and some of that's probably corrupt too, with corrupt people that get money from pharmaceuticals. And I'm not getting all that political shit.
But when the kid treats himself and then he gets to a point where it's not helping, and he goes to the quote-unquote medical establishment, and they go, look, dude, you have created this super HIV because you have just, you know,
right,
jabbed it and jabbed it and jabbed it when you should have been giving it right hands the whole time, you know?
Right.
Now it's up. It's
for a good
stronger.
Boxing analogy.
Yeah. And it's like, dang, man. Now he's, bless his heart, he's out of options.
Yeah, because when it went off, and his name was Tristan, right? So when it went off, it popped up that he had since... because he turned it down the second time. They were going to give him a higher dosage. But after the documentary filmed, I guess, he, at that point, had injected himself again with a stronger dosage. So I don't know the update on him.
I know.
Since that.
And you know what? I when I was taking these notes, I meant to tell you, they're calling this season one.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I mean, good.
Yeah, we need to follow up
on some of those cases.
Yeah.
They did not follow up with the paralyzed guy. He's
I know.
He did have a treatment,
yeah,
and it was like a spinal tap, right? Mm-hmm. And then he had a pretty bad reaction to that.
I felt so sorry for him.
That was Nick. So we need to follow up on Nick. We don't know, and it just said that he's still searching for other options. So they didn't say he went back for another one or anything. So Nick is Nick's in bad shape.
He really is.
I want to update on. I'm hoping that would kick in.
I am rooting for him, and he has the greatest family. His brother helps him out, and his parents help him out, and they. I don't know. It's their life's goal to take care of this boy.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, literally he can't do anything on his own. They can roll him over on his bed and they have a computer like on a rolling cart, and he can play one computer game with his finger that he can move barely, like his thumb or something. And it's like a card game RPG thing they showed. I couldn't really see what it was. But, I mean, you pull for him, man.
You
see the personal human side of it, you know, it's like, fuck it, you do whatever.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes. Because
Jackson's family, they're great family too.
Absolutely. And that was one good thing with Jackson as the end was that he went and they scheduled this thing. I think insurance paid for part of it or whatever. It wasn't that big of a price tag on that one, I don't believe. And it was through the establishment.
Yep.
You know, it was because there's legitimate companies that do this stuff. It's not just garage people.
No,
you
it's
know,
not.
It's not just Dr. Earrings. But he had they scheduled one eye, and then 2 weeks later was the next one, and they only showed the one. He went for surgery. It was like a 45-minute surgery. 3 or 4 days later, dude's seeing colors.
Yes, it's awesome.
Dude is driving go-karts, and it's awesome to see him getting his vision. It's literally coming back in days.
Yeah, and it lets you know this is the future. There's
no way
around it.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it that there's great things can come from this, and I think it's going to be the answer to cancer.
Yeah.
And to
Alzheimer's
and all this stuff, because then you start looking out. They showed a couple side things. There's some other scientists where they have some commentary in the documentary. And, for example, they had two rats that were born on the same day.
Oh, I love that.
The lifespan of a rat's really short, and they showed one they didn't touch at all, and he was old. It looked old. It had a curved spine, but they had modified its brother or sister or whatever, its
sibling.
Born
on the same day.
Born on the same day. They had genetically modified this one that reproduces cells that are younger instead of, the same age, reproduction, if that makes any sense. And the damn thing didn't age at all.
Frisky as can be.
Frisky, no bend in the spine. You could it doesn't look old.
No.
There's no white hairs, and it's not
crazy
it's
looking.
Running around normal, and the other one's limping along. And you can literally reverse aging.
You can.
So that's proven, and it's crazy. So then that's what we were talking about earlier. If they can get that mapped over to humans, we could. They increased its lifespan by 35%.
Yeah,
is what they said. That's crazy.
And while we were watching it, I told Chris, I said, you know, as vain as it sounds, if there was something that they could do about male pattern baldness, you know, I would do it. I mean,
I'm sure. Well, there certainly is.
You know, it's those kind of things that do affect you directly that you start thinking about. What would I do? What
right.
would I change about myself? You know.
Yeah, I don't. Because
my eyesight's going. You know, and I'll put on glasses to read, and I don't mind that. But when your hair goes and there's no hope for it ever coming back,
right.
and you know, your only option is a freaking toupee or a comb over, you know,
right.
or a hat.
Yeah. Oh, but it's, yeah, but you always you know? Have to have a damn hat.
And it's like, damn it, I'd like to have my hair back. So I can see that, man, on the vanity side of it, I can see that. And they're going to make billions. When they do,
oh yeah,
and
they definitely mentioned that too. There's already a doctor doing that designer babies in Europe somewhere where it's legal, and you can go in there and they can pick their gender, they can pick eye colors,
yeah.
And he thought it was going to be a very local thing, and he gets people from all over the world calling and coming in trying to And he always says it's always something you can't have, like people somewhere over
with brown eyes, for example, always want the blue eyes.
Yes.
And people, their blue eyes
want... Scandinavian people want brown eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
And that's the thing. But and then they threw back in the social aspect of that. Well, if you can make everybody see like an eagle, then you have to make everybody. It's like, I don't know. I mean, do you? You know, so it goes back to the same old, you know, it goes into a lot of social issues as far as, you know, having access to this technology.
Whenever I saw the part about them, you know, choosing the sex of the baby and the baby's eye colors and things like that, me personally, I was thinking, you know, you got it made and you have no worries in the world when you're sitting there ready to spend tons of money just to be sure your baby has certain color eyes.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, you have got, I don't know. Is the feeling envy that I feel, or do I look at them mockingly? I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it's one thing, you know, and it's so many, there's so many variables. If I had the option to pay a couple $1,000s to make sure my child didn't have any diseases and never would,
sure,
I'm all in.
Yeah.
But if I'm going, I don't think I would go in there and pick genders or eye colors. That, to me, I mean, they're both the same thing when you think about it scientifically.
Right, hair color,
you start getting into that.
But
you think of one as unnatural and one as okay.
Yeah.
And it's really odd.
Now.
So can I go in there, for example, and do that? Let's say that was a thing. And back in the day, before we had Camden, I could go in there, pay $1,000, and they test to make sure she's good to go. And if there is something wrong, they can fix a piece of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay a couple $1,000s for that. And she's all good to go. Never has diseases, you know, or very low chance or something, whatever. Because they're up to, like, I think the technology, they're up to like 93%, you know, you will get what you ask for.
Right.
So it's pretty much a given.
That's what he was telling them, yeah.
So if I do that, how could I be against anything else regarding the same technology? Even if it means changing a population of an animal. You know what I mean? It's like you can't be both, can you? I don't know.
Right.
It's really odd.
I felt weird because what they have to do now, they literally have to do this, but they fertilize so many eggs, they make so many zygotes, and then they can look at the zygote and say, this is the one.
This is the one
so
you want.
Now, when they throw away the other zygote, is that abortion?
Well, yeah.
The ones that didn't make the cut, you know?
Legitimate question, because it's fertilized.
Right.
Once it's fertilized, so, it's...
Again,
it's,
there's another ethical thing.
There's another ethical thing, and that's a big thing in the United States, obviously.
Let me...
And so that's a big discussion.
Here locally, we... a few years ago, we had this boy. He committed suicide. He was like 13 years old. He jumped off this bridge down here close to our house. Now, he was autistic, right? Granted, that's terrible, but he was getting picked on at school for being redheaded and getting called ginger every day and all this stuff. And I do see that. You do see redheaded people getting picked on a lot. And I know the ones that have, you know, they're happy-go-lucky and they joke around with, I know it still bothers them to be called ginger all the time, and, you know, orange head and all this stuff.
Well, now
I could
cool.
see two orange-headed people, or, you know, maybe, you know, that orange, that's a dominant trait. I could see them saying, I don't want my kid to grow up getting picked on like I did. Can we, you know, there's other people in my family that are not redheaded. Can I get a blonde or a brown-haired baby just so they won't have one less worry to worry about in life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because it's all based off good intentions for the most part, obviously. But there's always going to be the assholes in the world that don't have good intentions, and that's the problem.
And then if you take away the orange hair, somebody's going to pick on them about, you know, their teeth or you know, their feet or what. I mean, you know, kids are going to get picked on. They really are. Kids are mean in general. They just are. They're going to pick on something.
Yeah,
about
it's going to be something or another.
So, again, to me, it's almost another nerfing of the world for our kids.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it. My kids grew up softer than I did. You always try to take away those chances of getting hurt physically, emotionally, you want to shelter them as much as you can. And I think this is just another level of that, is a parent trying to do good and ends somehow handicapping their kid in the process, you know, makes them weaker.
Right. Like a lot of people say, the homeschool thing, you know, they're not socialized, which is, you know, got to be true to a degree. So, but they're doing it because they know they'll get a better education and whatever.
It's good intentions.
It's good intentions. But they may cripple them socially or whatever. And, you know, they're late, you know, whatever it is.
They go apply for a job. They may be qualified on paper, but when they can't interview right,
exactly,
and the guy doesn't damn hire them, you know, the family's perplexed.
Right. And then, by the way, we're not saying all homeschool people are
not at all.
Using that as an example, because that's came up before with the homeschooling debate. You know, is it, does it help or hurt?
It's another butterfly effect.
It could be.
It really can be. It's just an example of that. You think you got all the bases covered, and then this kid grows up, goes, does an interview, and they're socially awkward. You know, I mean, it's just another example of, you don't know what you're doing when you mess with things.
That's right. Exactly. So it's a, the bottom line is, it's an awesome technology in the sense of what we know as a race, as a human race, as far as, you know, mapping out the genome. And we know we can, you know, reverse age, and we know we can stop diseases at some point. You know, I think they're very close to a lot of these major breakthroughs. But then, you know, like, it brings in the social aspect, you know, what does it cost and will insurance pay for it and all these other things. We won't get into all that, but there's just a lot of questions. And then the slippery slope. Is it right? Who determines right and wrong? You know, can you go this far, but you can't step over this line? Where do you draw the line in the sand? There's all these questions and variables and slippery slopes and stuff. So it's really a complicated issue. It's not something you can just sit there and go, yeah, I'm for it.
I wrote this quote down. Chris and I both looked at each other when Earrings said this.
Dr. Earrings.
He says, there are no mistakes to be made. Remember when he said that? And we looked at each other like, what is he talking about? Because he said at that conference, he was like, so we're saying in the future there's just going to be bigger, more athletic, handsome people running around. Ooh, what's the problem with that?
Right.
You know, and yeah, don't people realize if everybody wanted their kid to be 6'6", athletic, you're just raising the bar for everybody. They're not going to stand out when everybody does
it's the same. Yeah. Exactly. You're taking away diversity in everything. It's crazy. It's crazy. It goes, I mean, it's one of those things where on the surface, if I don't do any more research on it, if I had to take some kind of stance, it would generally be, I think it should be allowed or whatever on some kind of personal level that doesn't affect anybody else. But that's the problem. You don't really know how it affects other people down the line if you pass on these things.
Yeah.
Because since then I've looked up, and like I said, there's, for example, this is a good example. You heard all the stuff about GMO foods. Last 10 years, it's been a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, though, here's an example. They took some poison from a certain kind of scorpion and put it into lettuce. Now, the poison is just some kind of, you know, it's a piece of DNA. So this lettuce now kills, it's its own insecticide. It has to, you don't have to spray it with poison.
Right.
So when a critter bites it, it instantly dies and stops. It doesn't mess with the lettuce. The lettuce is therefore better, healthier, all that stuff. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Right.
It seems to be a good thing to me.
It does.
But it also, now how is it affecting those flies and insects?
Yeah, that can't eat what they're used to
eat. What they're used to eat, and then that affects other parts of the ecosystem.
Right.
So on the surface, sounds great. Yeah. The lettuce is not any worse for you. It's a it's grown naturally. Mm-hmm. It's not like I think people get in their head that, you know, with this, you know, genetically modified stuff, that it's something grown in a lab and it's just unnatural.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just,
we've been eating cross-pollinated apples. Absolutely. Bees have done this for us.
Exactly. Thank
same
you.
Same thing, you know.
It's exactly the same thing. It's just quicker. That's all it is. It's just quicker. So on the surface, it sounds like a great thing. But then again, like I said, the ecosystem, how does it affect that? The insects are here for a reason.
They are.
And so even though you hate mosquitoes, they're part of a cycle. And that's where the questions come in.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's really complicated. There's no right or wrong answer.
No, there's not.
You can't really pick a side.
If I had to take a stance, kind of like you're saying, I feel like if you're here, now this is for the human part, not for like pests and stuff like that, for helping humans, I think if you're here, you know, and there's something wrong and we can fix it, we should do our best.
Yep.
Now, the problem is what you said, like, really early on, and you've touched on a couple times. Are you allowed to reproduce if we change right. your genetics?
Exactly.
That's something we could visit later. I say help anybody who's here. Be healthy. I'm not down with making superhumans, but as far as health,
right,
everybody
that's the,
has a
that's
right.
That's the other thing. That's the other side they brought up, too, was, mm-hmm. you know, well, if we can do this, we can go ahead and make you stronger.
Yes.
We can make you see better, athletic. I mean, it goes back to the same old argument.
I am right at this second, on this date, without, like Chris said, doing more research and stuff, I'm against designer babies. Could I be convinced in a 10-minute conversation? Maybe.
Yeah, you
know,
right.
I, that's how, you know, I'm not dug in on that stance. But right at this point, I'm against it. Just because it just seems like the craft beer group, you know.
Yes.
Y'all want my baby with a hint of tangerine and oak,
exactly.
you know.
Exactly.
Aftertaste. I don't know.
And I'm going to name him Arbor.
Yeah.
What the heck? I know.
You know, oaky afterbirth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. It's one of those things.
I mean, go ahead and add a, you know, make a Starbucks cup grow out of his hand, for Christ's sake. You know, I mean.
I can't get down with that. But if you're already here and you need our help and we can do it, do it. That's the way I am.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, polio's natural. We wiped that out.
We wiped it out.
And now it's coming back because of the whole vaccinated, you know, the vacciners thing. We're not going to talk about that. That's a whole another conversation.
Yeah.
But it's actually.
And vaccines, you know, that's there's some of the same ethical dilemmas there.
Right.
With natural selection, you know.
Exactly. Because, yeah. I mean, we're killing off natural things with natural remedies, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all natural in some way because we're natural. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the I don't know, the bottom line for me. But it's still, there's a lot of ethical questions. I mean, you know, penicillin.
Dude,
it's natural.
It is,
and it keeps you alive.
And were there people back then going, no, people are supposed to die from infection?
Exactly. Hell know? No.
We
you
shouldn't
know?
Intervene. We
exactly.
should not intervene.
Exactly. So it's complicated. On you
it
know,
is very complicated.
Everybody's down for it as long as it helps them and their family.
Yep.
So you got to be careful about, you know, the stones you're casting at the same time.
That's right. That's right.
But there are legitimate
it's
questions.
It's a fascinating docuseries. I say watch it.
Yeah, check it out for sure. I mean, at least it's a fascinating something just to think about anyway, because that's where we're heading. And like I said, since then, there's been so many animals and plants and foods now and whatever that are genetically modified. So this is a new documentary. It's brand new. But it's a couple years from filming, I think.
Yeah.
So I look forward to a follow-up.
And the thing is, Chris, there's things that are being done right now. They're not going to let us know publicly until they have figured everything out in the lab.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
There's things that are happening right now. I mean, this is the future. As far as pumping the brakes, that's all we can do. We can never stop it.
Oh,
we can
right,
just
right.
slow down.
Yeah, it's going to happen
this
anyway.
This is happening.
That's what they said in the documentary. They were trying to do, you know, they had the UN Council,
mm-hmm.
and some people were saying, you know, we should ban all this stuff. And it's like, you ban it, and it's still going to happen.
It will happen.
That's why you have these, quote-unquote, individual biohackers already.
That's right.
Because they're just going to be in their garages doing it, so why not just have it regulated? You know, so there was some argument there about that stuff. So
yeah, I think that's the answer, just regulate everything.
Yeah, but then that goes into overregulation. Who makes the regulation? Who says this is the line in the sand versus over here?
Gosh.
So it's never ending.
No, it's not.
So it's a pretty unique thing because it's so new and such groundbreaking stuff that it's insane to think about. You know,
it is. This is something.
There's no definitive black and white answer
yeah.
for any of this stuff on any level.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I mean, we could take this information, say 20, 25 years ago, to, you know, genetics professors at any college and blow their mind.
Oh, God. Yeah, we'd win a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, they'd be like, whoa, are you kidding me? So I'm sure they were guessing that this could be the future.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But to say, hey, sure, there are people doing this in their garage.
Exactly.
In 2019.
So apparently now you can order a kit and learn how to do this shit. And if you want to inject yourself, go for it. You know, maybe try to get your hair back.
Yeah, no.
You can do it now. Just find out the gene. Look it up in the manual.
It makes
squirt the stuff and the other stuff.
It might make your penis shrivel up.
Well, I mean,
can't handle any more of that either.
That's a separate gene.
We hack both of them at one time.
You can hack both of them. You can do what you want. I don't know if you're having any more offspring. I guess you're not. Yeah. But then they don't have to worry about hair and penis size. I guess.
I hope I live long enough to see my son as John Holmes.
So. Anyway, yes, check it out if you have some time. Again, it's a good little thing to watch at night when you're chilling. There's nothing else on, but it's really interesting. It brings up a lot of questions and dilemmas to think about and to think on, and how people think about it's interesting too, and all their different perspectives. So
it is. I recommend it, guys.
Anyway, we'll let that be that. By the way, this is available on SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. So if you listen on there, feel free to give us a rating. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah,
and otherwise,
seedless watermelons.
Yeah, you that's know, right.
That's basically, there, nobody, the same thing.
Nobody complains nobody about complains that, but you can't that. Have. Yeah, you can, but you can't have a banana for some reason. Like that's somehow bad. I saw that before on a video where people were, you know, they took a banana, a GMO banana, and split it in half, and said, "This is GMO and this is non. Which one's better? The natural one's better." It's like, no, they're the same half. They just
That's
cut it in half.
Funny.
So, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing. Nobody cares about seedless watermelons, though.
Mm-mm.
So it's really weird. There's a weird thing there, like what people, I guess everybody's different, but what they think's okay versus what they shouldn't do. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So everybody's got their own line in the sand.
Yeah, my grandma loved seedless grapes.
Yeah, always that had too. Yeah.
Can't believe you didn't get me seedless. That's what she'd always say.
I got to spit these damn things out. But anyway, yeah, let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube. And do me a favor and subscribe to the YouTube channel if you don't mind. We'd appreciate it. And also...
And we will have video one day. So you'll be glad you did.
Yes, quick update on that.
That's right.
We are moving forward. It's going to take another still 3 or 4 months at least.
But
we have confirmation. Everything is moving forward. So I have the contract to sell this house now, and the city is now ready to they're ready to go. So they can start actually grading things off in the next week or two is what I'm being told. So we will have a studio. I have it in my head already laid out, kind of, sort of. So we'll be adding video to this, and that will make YouTube a lot more fun, I think.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's going to be a blast.
So anyway, yes, let us know what you think in the comments. Thank you to our Patreons. I went to say that earlier in the podcast, but thank you, Peach. Really appreciate it for joining the podcast Patreon as well. We'll mention Peach again next time in the beginning. I completely forgot to pull out the Patreon list. But appreciate it, guys, and let us know what you think, and we'll let it fade to black.
See ya.
I am Dr. Earrings, and I just want everybody to...
I would love it if he caught wind of this. That would be so funny.